All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Actually podcast for Wednesday, the 6th of March. I'm going to say it's the 6th of March. I don't know.
Beware, the 6th of March.
Exactly. We were held a little late, so this is going to be punchy and probably quick.
Yeah, so... Damn that guy.
Yes. So... Oh,
he was a nice guy.
He was a nice guy. So let's talk to the comics at hand.
Hello, hey, comics.
Hi, comic. Green Lantern number 5.
Yes. We forgot to say who we are, but if you don't know,
hey, then, I'm Bob.
Know, I'm also Bob. Because I don't know how to be anyone else. Green Lantern, beware my power. Marooned on a vampire planet, Hal Jordan faces the ultimate ordeal of endurance. Hal Jordan is undercover, trying to infiltrate the Dark Stars organization. This comic's great. It's awesome. It's a vampire planet. Literally, it's Hal Jordan without a ring on a vampire planet. And yeah. Oh, at the end, there's a cliffhanger ending involving a cool DC science fiction guy from the 60s that I like.
Science guy.
Science fact.
All right. Well, Immortal Hulk number 14 came out. I don't need to say anything nice about this comic because everybody knows it's great because everyone's buying it. It is a wonderful book.
Can I say something nice about this particular issue, number 14 of Immortal Hulk, and that is that it is drawn by Kyle Hotz, and that guy is awesome.
What else has he done? His art is great.
He has done a bunch of stuff, but nothing directly comes to mind because I think he's kind of like a... He seems like a... Kind of a Swamp Thingy kind of artist, maybe, or like a
Kelly Jonesy kind of feel to it. Yeah. But it's like it's its own version of a Kelly Jones kind of thing.
I think he drew the Hood for Marvel. Is that a thing that he might have drawn?
It is. It is actually that sounds familiar.
I'm not certain, but in this issue, Thunderbolt Ross is dead, and you're kind of following Betty Ross, and it's nice to see her back for longtime Hulk. That's a character that hasn't appeared much in the series. And
as a longtime Hulk person.
As a longtime Hulkamaniac.
Oh my goodness.
No, it was really good. And the artist on this was really, really great.
You can talk about this next thing.
I'm going to talk about this because every time I'm ready to completely write off Justice League, they do something neat. And this issue is neat. It is the Justice League versus... Mr. Mitzelpittelik, whatever you want to say,
Mitzelpittelik is how I like to say it.
Yeah,
because it's fun to say Mitzelpittelik.
Mitzelpittelik. It's the Justice League versus him. But there's this kind of thing, a little twist. The art was really good, and the story was it. I mean, it didn't really make a lot of sense, but it's a Mitzelpittelik, so it doesn't supposed to. It doesn't supposed to make a sense.
It doesn't supposed to make sense.
It doesn't supposed to make a sense. It didn't. It was great. I liked it. Fine.
Yeah, we stayed at the store.
Yeah, we did. It's
2 hours
really
extra.
It's like literally. It's almost the 6th.
Oops.
Of March.
Sorry, everybody. We had a celebrity apprentice, so we had to stay late.
We spent time with a quality celebrity,
and we sold a lot of comic books.
Yes. Oh, you put this in the.
I did.
Pile,
oh, I'm
we're
sorry.
Not done with it.
I lied. Young Justice.
Young
number
Justice.
Three.
Number three. I really like Young Justice. This is the issue that tells you what happened to Superboy Connor Kent, and it has some fill-in art as well as art from the regular team. It's good.
It's so good. Has he always had the shoulder spikes? Is that a new thing?
I think he always did have them. Maybe
I don't
not.
Remember
I don't
him
know.
Having those shoulder spikes.
Yeah, I don't
he
know.
He has like those GBH like 70s punk rock
That's
spikes.
True. Yeah, I guess he didn't.
They're kind of great.
Yeah, it's cool. He there's a big like not only you find out like where he went, but like what he's been up to. And when you find out, you're like, whoa, that's a plot twist and a half. I don't know if you read that. Did you read it?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That thing with the like thing at the end.
I'm not really, honestly, I don't really get it. So
this part.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like,
yeah. Oh, no,
that's my,
that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was
I thought
crazy.
I thought you meant the literal ending with Amethyst.
Oh yeah. No, that's just like kind of, I don't know. It's just, it's the story.
It's a thing.
It's good. I like it. I
cool.
like Young Justice.
I thought
it's
I was
really
missing something.
Fun. lots of fun. X-Men is a comic book that came out.
Sure is.
This is the non-Age of X-Men man. So it's the regular X-Men who are left behind, and it's interesting. I liked it.
It's got Dark Beast in it. I think that's a huge spoiler.
He has cut off his own legs and replaced them with Mojo feet.
So I don't care if it's a spoiler. I want to get people reading this book.
And yeah, that's a spoiler.
It's got Dark Beast in it, and it's fucking great.
Yeah, this team of X-Men is like whoever's left behind after the Age of X-Men. So it's like Cyclops and Wolverine, but also Havoc and Moonstar and some new mutants. Wolfsbane is in it. Magic. It was cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
Dark Beast.
And Meet the Skrulls number one.
This took me by surprise. I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot too. It didn't really take me by surprise. I was like, if they're gonna waste money on making this series, they've got to do something good with it. I couldn't
I don't know why you see
a giant stack of them at the store. Because I was like,
yeah,
I actually was expecting this to be another Vision, but it's not. It's its own thing. It's definitely a lot more comic booky than I was expecting.
Well, it's very much like it wasn't. The approach on it is different than what's been done before, but the story itself of like Skrull agents infiltrating the Marvel Universe is like been done a lot of times.
But the angsty teenage Skrull is a fascinating take, and I think it's fucking
like,
cool.
Kind of like half Skrull Kill Crew,
half the Visions.
The Americans.
That kind of works.
So that's out. Meet the Skrulls number one. We also have a Walking Dead issue that came out. 189 issues thus far. Deep into the Walking Dead are we.
You want to talk about a big surprise for me?
Yeah, you'll have to talk about that because I didn't understand it.
Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal.
Didn't get it.
I mean, there was nothing to get. I mean, this was just a big nonsense issue.
Okay, I found it hard to read.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those old style, just like cram everything you can into every kind of panel just for like wacky Looney Tunes style gags. I thought it was super fun. It doesn't have much of a plot that's important, I don't think.
Okay.
Like it doesn't, I don't feel like the plot is of any consequence whatsoever. I think it's more just about little moments like the back alley Comic-Con with the rat as one of the,
special guests. I loved.
You know, them taking a weird tour of Doctor Strange's place with a... You know,
like, and a guest appearance by Method Man.
Yes, guest appearance by Method Man and the Eye of Agamotto. It's just weird and silly.
Yeah,
it's fun.
There is a really great... the alley behind a closed-down laundromat Comic-Con, which has some really funny... there's some moments in it that I liked. I just didn't really understand.
Like, oh, yeah.
In an oversaturated market where Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal comics,
Marvel is doing their big like these are our series that we had in the 50s, and we're celebrating that we are like 40s even like these are our old Atlas titles or whatever, and they're just celebrating these really really old ass comics that they have the rights to, and maybe we're right on the verge of losing the rights to these. What if we want to make a Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal comic again?
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. I mean,
reestablishing the trademark.
Yeah,
okay.
But also, it was cool to see them use it in a Marvel Universe context.
Yeah, I like the artist by Jacob Chabot or Chabot or however you say his name, and I like him. He does a lot of the kids book stuff, so it's got a kind of kids book quality.
I got nothing. Let's go on to this one.
Okay.
Prisoner X.
Prisoner X is Age of X-Man miniseries starring Bishop, and he is in jail in the fascist X-Man land, and it was surprisingly decent.
This was one of my favorites. Yeah. I really dug this. I loved the characterization of Beast. I thought Beast was awesome in it.
He's a jerk.
Beast is just like, he's no longer hyper-intelligent. He's just kind of a dick.
Yeah, but he's like a prison dick.
He's like the toughest guy in prison.
He's like, don't be talking to my property.
Yeah. It's kind of great.
Yeah, that was a nice surprise. Like a prison drama with X characters, many of whom you will recognize. Like, I think is Honey Badger one of them?
Yes.
Yes. Honey Badger and Bishop and Polaris. And there was this Suicide Squad thing that came out, number 5 of Black Files Suicide Squad. That was a comic that was out. Also, Paper Girls.
Paper Girls, the first issue of the last arc.
Ooh.
So this is the end of Paper Girls.
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
I haven't read it in a while. So.
And I will tell you,
wow,
the first issue made me want a McDonald's hot apple pie really bad.
Because yeah, but you want to get it and then fry it.
Oh yeah, I want to get it from one of those creepy trees.
Yeah.
Yep. Superhero Adventures number one again. Spider Sense of Adventure.
Yes, it's another Spider-Man superhero adventures for kids, and it was lots of fun. And
as per usual,
we love these, and there's a reason we love them, and that's because they are good.
Yeah. Girl in the Bay.
Girl in the Bay. That was a number two. We liked number one. Number two, I did not.
Number two is getting confusing.
Yeah. But I was kind of like, what's happening here?
But Corinne's art is still on point. It looks nice. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, the art's definitely good.
You know, it's got one of those crazy Vertigo in the 90s storylines because J.M. DeMatteis is doing it. So
yeah,
it's gonna be weird, but nice. I love it.
It was confusing.
Avengers, I didn't read it.
I read it. It's the more of this vampires storyline, and also, is it continuity that Johnny Blaze is the king of hell?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
There was a one shot that actually explained that like 2 years ago.
Okay, cool.
There was a Johnny Blaze one shot that was like, oh, by the way, I've taken over hell. Hey, how's it going? Here I am on hell's throne.
I gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, this is the Avengers. War of the Realms is coming in 1 month, and until then, enjoy this story about vampires.
Yeah, exactly. Vampires are a great way for Marvel to kill time until they get to their big... They've done this before, I'm positive.
Yeah.
Die number four
die,
from Image.
Isn't it Die, Die, Die?
Die, 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 Die. No, not Die, Die, Die. This is Die, the regular Die.
Okay, I just brought this because it looked nice, and I thought maybe you would have something to say about it.
I actually didn't read this particular issue, but I have been reading the series so far, and cool. I think it's awesome.
Nice.
I still defend my position that this is Dungeons & Dragons, the cartoon done for adults.
Nice.
It's like imagine if all those kids came back from their adventure, grew up, and then went back for some reason, and they'd been traumatized by their adventure in this world, and then had to go back for one last quest.
Cool.
It's kind of that. It's a fun series.
Nice. Deadpool is out.
You know, I'm simplifying that story considerably.
Okay.
But
I mean, we need people to be like, hey, that sounds like the thing I'd like. So I think that's a good introductory. It certainly made me feel stupid for not having read any issues of it so far.
Well, I will say Deadpool number 10 is out.
Deadpool number 10 is out. Deadpool is fighting a guy, and the art is decent. And by decent, I mean good. And by Deadpool, I mean Deadpool.
I don't think I've read the last few Deadpool issues.
I grabbed everything.
Is
and
this
then,
the first time that his roommate from the movies has been in comic continuity?
No, I think they brought her back in this current series. I'm not sure. I got really into the Black Panther versus Deadpool, and I kind of didn't read regular Deadpool. When I was doing my second pass to see what I had possibly missed, I saw that there was an issue of Deadpool and thought I should grab it. Another book that I also missed the first pass and thought I should grab is The Dreaming, whatever number that is. What number is it? Seven?
This is number seven.
Seven already. Dang.
Yep.
7 year, 7 month itch.
I haven't read it.
It looks great.
Looks great.
It looks great.
You know what else is great?
Yeah, I read that.
Doomsday Clock.
Okay,
still good.
Well, Doomsday Clock is kind of turning into a bigger deal than I was expecting it to be.
Me too. I did not think they were going to actually, that this was going to be for reals.
Yeah, I didn't either. There's some weird stuff that they do, particularly with Firestorm and some other characters that I've followed for a long time, like Metamorpho and the Creeper.
Yep.
That they kind of tweak the origin stories of them a little bit in this in a way that was just kind of like, whoa. And also Dr. Manhattan is fully now in the series.
Yes.
That's not a spoiler because he's literally on the cover. Yeah, but Doomsday Clock, number nine. I think the issues have been delayed and whatnot, so it might be a little while before we get another one. But I was...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm into it.
I'm kind of into it.
Way more into it than I thought I was.
Definitely way more than I thought.
Black Hammer 45.
Black Hammer 45 is the latest Black Hammer tie-in miniseries. It is essentially, if you are familiar with the DC series, the Blackhawks, which is like kind of like a paramilitary like fighter squadron from World War II, and then they kind of kept going past that because comics. This is just like that, but it is by Jeff Lemire and Ray Fox, and it is drawn by Matt Kint. So it's really cool and stylistic, and I didn't honestly like, this is a series that I read, so I didn't try to like plow through it in 40 minutes. I'll sit and read it slowly at home. Black Hammer is great, and Black Hammer 45 looks to be great.
Yes. Astro Hustle, ooh, number one from Dark Horse Comics.
Dug it.
This is a crazy book.
I liked it. It was a lot more going on than I was expecting.
A lot.
It's like there's kind of like multiple layers of storytelling happening. There's like something that's happening at the beginning that I kind of was like, I don't really understand this within the context of what I thought this series was going to be. And then after that part, there's like this whole thing with this guy who's basically like kind of like a, like an interstellar rogue, this colonial empire that literally has like British colonial costumes. But it's a space series. The art is real good in this. I love the lettering. I love the like sound effects like drawn into the art. It's really cool. Pirates, spaceships, very kind of like Star Wars meets Big Trouble in Little China. I don't know, like if I would really. It was cool. I really,
you know,
liked.
That's not the worst description. Star Wars meets, yeah, Big Trouble in Little China is kind of great.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. Astro Hustle, number one by Jainitz and Tom Riley, and Ursula Decay is the colorist. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was cool. Dark Horse doing it.
Batman number 66.
Another one that I'm ready to write off, and then they come up with a good issue.
I know. I love Batman, this artist.
Batman 66, not to be confused with Batman 66. It's Batman issue number 66. And it is the artist on this is this guy that's been, or I don't know, Fornes. I don't know who it is. It's got a very Batman Year One, David Mazzucchelli kind of style to it. It's weird because essentially the entire issue is just Catwoman talking to the Question.
Yep.
Which sounds really boring, but it's just a beautiful
but it's
book.
Not.
And the story was, there is like, there, she's like telling a story in this like interview style.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was
cool. Wonderful.
It was cool.
Female Furies number two.
Whew.
Brutal.
It's a
dark,
tough one. Tough one to process. Yeah. Tough one to feel like. That's not the kind of comic that you read and you're like, man, I feel great about this comic where, like, the New Gods are, like, just the worst male predator dickheads that, like, you can possibly imagine. And also, it just really is very, it doesn't, it feels like it's kind of just, like, its own thing. It doesn't feel like it's actually, like, someone trying to do, like, a Female Furies in continuity kind of thing. It's just, like, I have a story to tell about women empowering themselves after, you know, abuse. There's like a whole storyline with someone that looks very, very, a new Gods character who looks very suspiciously like Donald Trump, doing very suspiciously like Donald Trump things, and, you know, about like whether people are being believed. I don't know. It's heavy, you know. It's just
heavy.
Real heavy for a Female Furies book. I feel like maybe it would be, the subject in a different context could be very powerful in Female Furies. I'm not saying it can't be powerful. It's just, it's heavy.
Yeah. It's almost too much.
I think it's a little bit too much for me.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
I feel like it might be a bit too much for me as well.
Yeah.
You know what's not too much for me?
Because it's probably, it's like well put together.
It is. It's a very good book. But
can you talk about this? I did not understand. We're talking about a different book now.
Yes.
Cosmic Ghost Rider threatens the Marvel Universe. What's it called? Destroys Marvel
it's
history.
It's called the Cosmic Ghost Rider destroys Marvel history.
Did not like I two passes through this book. I do not really get it.
I have only skimmed it, so I'm not going to be any more help than you.
He's like, he goes, he's Cosmic Ghost Rider. He's in space. He meets the Watcher. Yep. Then all of a sudden, somehow he's like a member of the Fantastic Four from their first adventure. And then the whole issue is like retelling key moments of Fantastic Four history with Cosmic Ghost Rider as a member of the team. And also, like, he's talking to his son, who is, you know, the Punisher's son. And so, is therefore...
I guess he's stuck in the past somehow.
Yeah.
And I don't understand much more than that.
I felt like it was
whatever.
Really...
It's a fun, wacky whatever.
Yeah, it was cool. The art was good. And
if like, you like How Did This Get Made or NTSC SUV, then you'll probably like this. It's Paul Scheer is the writer.
How did you just like nail those that acronym?
I don't know.
Like the hardest
NTSC SUV. Because I used to really like that show when it was out. And cool. I like Paul Scheer, and I think he's a funny dude. I'm going to give this a shot.
Is that who wrote the issue? Oh, okay.
I haven't actually gotten through it, so I literally just skimmed it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I will know much better than you what's going on, but
I am
excited to read it. So.
It is a miniseries where the Cosmic Ghost Rider is back in time fucking with Marvel continuity.
Okay, so here's an interesting one.
What's that?
Domino Hotshots number one.
Yeah, this is the Domino creative team gets to like finish the storyline in a miniseries. I don't know. I mean, it felt like the Domino series, but with a different title.
I think the thing is that they were just like, how about we rebrand this?
Yeah.
And it's cool. Great. It's still great. The Domino series was awesome, and I'm bummed that they ended it, but now we have another miniseries. And the stakes are a lot higher in this one. They did something crazy involving, actually, that's a spoiler, big cosmic powerful entity going on that is infecting someone. And then we wind up with, if you're a fan of Gail Simone and her time at Marvel, the ending of this book will be very pleasing to you, because having her write this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck, man. Gail Simone is great.
Yeah.
She does good things, and don't even look at that page.
There's an ad in the new Marvel books for a new Rob Liefeld X-Men character that is making his appearance soon. First exceptional issue, Major X, number one.
He has an X over his face.
He does. Also, he has an O on his chest and an X. He has an X with an O in the middle of it or something. Yep. I don't know. Also, Cable, Deadpool, and Wolverine.
Listen, I'm someone who has often defended Rob Liefeld as far as these things go, just being like, he's created a lot of stuff, he's got a lot of things going for him, but the idea of bringing him back to Marvel, I can't. His time has passed, guys. I mean, I'm going to get shit for that, I know, because I know he has a lot of fans.
Yeah.
But I look at that and I'm like, I don't. Every time he rebooted something at Image, it sold like 250 copies. Like all of his Image reboots of the 2000s, they didn't even finish Image United. Like,
well, they never did. It's like when he did the Supreme stuff, and it was like really great, and then he just like stopped paying people, and it just ended.
Oh yeah,
I loved that. That was such a good run.
So too bad.
I mean, we got some good stuff out of it, but
it is. I mean, maybe I'm just being weird, thinking that like. Rich guys from the 90s don't need to be in comics anymore. Maybe they should just drive their Ferraris around and let new guys do stuff.
He could ink comics while he's driving his Ferrari.
Oh, God.
Anyway, Deathstroke. There's a new issue of Deathstroke. So there's going to be a crossover with Deathstroke and the Teen Titans that is going to be called The Terminus Agenda. And this is the prequel. And it involves the Terminator and his daughter gambling on a houseboat.
Awesome.
It was cool. It's great. I love the Deathstroke series.
Champions.
I love this cover.
Yeah.
So good. The Champions storyline involves Mephisto currently.
Yep.
Oh, I brought two issues of Batman.
Conan.
I'm sorry.
Number four.
Is this King Conan?
I don't know. I haven't read it.
It's a new artist who is really good, although I really dislike the coloring. But Conan
it's doing Conan stuff.
But I feel like it's like maybe like later Conan where he's like King Conan. I'm not sure though. Either way, it looks like on the cover King Conan too. Anyway, it's Conan doing Conan stuff, being a badass.
Let me tell you what one of my favorite books this week was.
This was cool.
Star Wars, Vader, Dark Visions. Man, what a crazy book. This is just, I think, maybe a one-shot, or I have...
No, it's a mini-series, but I think each issue of the mini-series is a single storyline. This one is basically Darth Vader falls from space into a planet and then fights a giant shark.
Yeah, basically they have this enormous godlike creature that lives there that they have enough technology to throw bombs at it and things that are, like, highly explosive or dangerous, and they've never been able to kill it. Darth Vader's ship crashes there and he fights it, and it's insane and it's awesome, and the art is fun. The cover is so cool.
Yeah.
Just like it's a cool version of this character.
Yeah, the guy on the alien on the planet that's like seeing it all keeps calling him the Black Knight or the Dark Knight or something like that. And I thought that it was cool. It's cool to see Vader doing stuff because he was such a Sally in the original Star Wars movies, like in the long run. Like, I mean, he kind of was a badass, but like he didn't really get to like fight like hardcore.
Yeah, you never get to see anything.
So this was cool to see like Vader doing like Jedi stuff, like cool ass Jedi stuff. The art was cool. And one thing that was really kind of neat for me is that when you get into one of these Star Wars books, it's cool that you can hear the voices in your head.
Yeah.
Like when Vader's talking and it's like you hear that James Earl Jones voice in your head while you're reading it. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Something that you don't get from many other comics. I thought you were... I would not have read this, but you were like, it was really good. So I checked it out. And you were right. It was really good.
That cover called to me. Yeah. And normally I don't really read the Star Wars stuff, but man, so freaking good.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's what we got, guys.
There were a couple other books, some trades.
Come to Biddeford with us on Thursday, and we're going to be doing the premiere of Captain Marvel and giving away Captain Marvel toys and comics and stuff. It'll be fun.
What are the details of that?
The doors open at 5, and the movie starts at 7, and there's going to be... Yep, in Biddeford at Smitty's.
Smitty's in Biddeford.
Smitty's in Biddeford.
Thursday.
5. Five doors. 7 o'clock. Movie.
Doors at 5.
Movie at 7.
7 o'clock at the movies.
Yep. And there's going to be drinks and stuff and happy hour and trivia and all sorts of other weird shit.
Whoa.
And like we said, we're giving stuff away and it'll be fun.
Cool. What are you giving away?
We've got a case of Funko Pops, of Captain Marvel Funko Pops.
Sweet.
We've got a bunch of first issues of the Life Of series that we're giving away.
Cool.
Some other cool stuff. Life Of took place in Maine, so, you know, we figured.
I was at the bookstore today and they had a Captain Marvel graphic novel and it said, "Did you know that Captain Marvel has a summer house in Harpswell, Maine?" And I was like, "Did you know Captain Marvel is not real?"
No, I didn't.
Someone who was in line behind me was like, "What?" It was pretty funny.
Captain Marvel is real. This is great.
Spoilers? That was a documentary.
Oh, man.
Skrulls. You're a Skrull.
I can't wait. I'm actually really stoked about the movie. So
yeah.
So
yeah, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Come see it. There's going to be superheroes and they're going to be punching each other and it's fun.
They are going to do that. Also, I found out that they're one of the characters in the Kree characters in Captain Marvel is named Bron Char.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
He better look and fight like Charles Bronson. He better have a gun. He better have a gun.
And he'd better talk like this.
Yeah. It's a complete state of death.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry we're so punchy this time.
Yeah, sorry about that. Next time we won't be so late.
Fresh face.
All right. We'll see you later.
Bye. Don't need no tea. Don't need no cigarette. One wish.